Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Patriots Monday here on WEEI Afternoons in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It is 3 o'clock, and we're heading quickly toward Drake May and Marcus Jones, so let's go to the three-point stance.
319!
Ready!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three. And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Andy Hart, you'll lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So did you guys see who was on the sideline before the Patriots game? Well, yeah, it was Mark Wahlberg. He was there to do the bell thing, but also Jaylen Brown and a bunch of other Celtics, who I can barely name right now, so we'll skip past him. It's all about Jaylen Brown. There was a lot to this little pregame appearance. First of all, I give him credit for the win. Jason Tatum was there. They didn't win after Jason Tatum visited. Jaylen Brown visits, they win. Coincidence? I think not. All the guy does is win championships, trophies, MVPs. Also, though, did you watch him playing pass? And he's playing pass with a black glove on his right hand. He's throwing it left-handed, not very well, gingerly. And do I need to worry about his wrist and whatever's going on with him? I thought we were full speed ahead with Jaylen Brown's going to be healthy. Now, all of a sudden, I see Jaylen Brown looking awkward at best, throwing and catching a football on the Patriots sideline. And it's led me to question, do I need to worry about his health as much as I'm worrying about Jason Tatum's, who's suddenly doing all these videos looking like he's making the fastest recovery from a torn Achilles ever? Jaylen Brown helped the Patriots get a victory yesterday. Jaylen Brown looked awesome. He looked like he was ready to lead this band of unknown brothers, except for the fact that he looked a little weird playing catch. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
No, it was weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was I think he likes to F with people quite a bit. I think he likes to try to control the narrative or just poke people, see how people react.
He also just not really be good at it.
Yeah, I don't know. But did he look like he was fully healthy, or is he just effing with us? Is he just throwing lefty to stoke people like me, the flames of my concerns? I don't know, but it's just something to sniff out and keep an eye on.
Yeah, not the time nor the place that I would have asked him to screw around with people with training camp and preseason games right around the corner. But we'll put a pin in that one. We'll revisit that later on in the show. A bunch of Celtics news breaking from around the weekend, as well as if we weren't busy enough. Speaking of other sporting events over the weekend, Nick Fitzy Stevens, are you ready?
Holy Giolito, let's get to it.
All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Would you mind sharing that audio with me, please, Stanley?
I don't think we should ever accept that in golf. I think
golf should be held to a higher standard than what was, you know, than what was seen out there this week.
Yeah, it should be held to a higher standard, Rory. I'm with you. Because you know what? I hate to say it. As hard as I was rooting for the Americans yesterday to complete the 28-3 comeback or the equivalent therein at the Ryder Cup, as hard as I pumped my fist when Cam What's-His-Face drained that 20-something foot putt, I got to tell you, America, you kind of got what you deserved, or at least the golfers didn't, but the rest of the country did, for the abhorrent, absolutely embarrassing behavior of our fans, our people out there at Bethpage this weekend. Throwing drinks, calling people names, Dan Ball, and so much more.
Yeah, it became from a home field or home course advantage to a disadvantage with the way that they were acting as the horn comes around. I was somewhat embarrassed with the way that the U.S. fans conducted themselves.
Did we just have a tag team three-point stance?
We did, because there's only
Welcome to the future.
For two. Yeah, it was kind of. I know Dan was feeling the same way, so I wanted to bring him in on mine.
Why don't you guys move to Europe then?
It's like Shaq Tank. You know what it is? It's sort of like, you know, Dan, I'm not sure if I want to go, like, maybe. You want to come in on this? $250,000, we'll split it. 25%.
Yeah, I got $125 for you.
That's perfect. Yeah. Isn't it funny also, too, as the Ryder Cup began, you know, America, the nation that's supposed to be so unified, we couldn't play together in Europe. Oh, all these little individual nations that are so for themselves and refuse to unify, just like the United States, they were playing as a better team. Not getting too rattled. But back to the fan behavior. Look, I love it whenever it's like, what is the garbage disposal one where everyone throws their
waste management? Oh, the waste management.
Waste management. Yeah, thank you, Andy. That's fine and dandy. That's what you get. That's what you expect when you go to this. This is one of the preeminent golf tournaments in the world. You cannot be throwing drinks at Rory McIlroy, the Masters champion. I don't care if he says he's from Europe and lives in Florida now or what. That is pathetic.
Those are two different things. You can't throw drinks. You shouldn't be doing anything like that. But if you want to heckle a little bit, I mean, I enjoyed Billy Matt, Happy Gilmore as much as anyone.
That
was the story
on.
Of that. Jackass! So I actually have no problem. If golfers want to consider themselves athletes, I mean, all other athletes deal with this, right? Every other sport, you got to deal with it.
But it's golf.
Quiet, please, so he can putt. Oh, I'm not going to putt until they shut up. I'm just going to outweigh them.
What about Tiger? What about your champion, Tiger Woods?
Hated him. He used to flip out when he could hear the camera going click, 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 taking a picture of him, that jack wagon. You're not a real athlete if you can't perform through noise.
Remember when cameras did that?
Yes. That's going to do it for the three-point stance today. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, our guy Drake May, future Patriots Hall of Famer, will join us here next on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
A little North Carolina rejoin for our guy Drake May. He'll be joining us momentarily, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. Yes, Dan Ball.
Must be getting fitted for his Hall of Fame jacket.
Could be. Nah, he's going to fill out between now and then.
No, he's never going to have a pooch pouch.
No, I mean fill out in a good way.
Oh, like muscle up.
Yeah, like get jacked. He'll put on 10 pounds in the next X number of years of like muscle and just like big boy weight.
He'll joshify himself.
He's still pretty young.
That's the other thing. He's 23. He's a baby.
We fixate on the hasn't yet reached a full season of starting. he's also just flat out young.
Can't rent a car legally.
I mean, the numbers he's put up, 3 games, 75%, what? Blah, 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 youngest since, blah, 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 youngest ever do it, blah, blah, blah.
And, what do he and little Ann do when they go on vacation?
Excuse me?
His young wife. They can't.
Is that the quarterback question of the week? Because you can ask it. I'll do the read. You ask the question.
Who rents the car when you guys go on vacation?
I think if you're really rich, there's probably ways around that. Right?
Yeah, Ubers.
No. You ask, like, dad to do it or somebody does it. Your agent. Your agent. I bet you your agent books your car for you. Right? You have agents.
Yes.
You were the third pick in the draft. I'm sure you find ways around things.
All right. Next to the counter, please. Josh Horowitz.
Yeah, exactly. There's a way to make
like Josh. You don't look like Josh. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Michael Vick was staying in hotels as Ron Mexico. Like you figure out ways to get past it. I think you can make it happen. Especially when you're a rising star like he is. We did get undercut real quick before Drake joins us with the Giolito news. We were talking about Drake May, the evolution of that relationship, the idea that Mike Vrabel would like to hear him say something other than he's a 5 out of 10 in terms of comfort in the offense. Because I'll tell you, that pass down the right sideline, the back shoulder throw from Drake May to Stephon Diggs, that was what Patriots fans' dreams are made of. That was a stud quarterback with a stud receiver on the same page. That is the visualization of a relationship and a comfort level between those two guys. Like that was a really good sign, because previously I thought the guy that he had that kind of relationship with would just booty.
Sure.
Because they'd been here last year, they'd had some success connecting. That was a nice throw, nice catch, nice relationship.
Is this a natural order of things / Foxborough nature is healing if you finally see Steph Diggs and Drake May on the same or same-ish page and have them have a 100-yard-plus game together?
This is especially, what month is it?
It's September still.
So this is the month that I believe idiots like me and Adam Jones and Rich Keefe and others thought Stephon Diggs would be on the sideline. On PUP and not yet playing, and he has 22 targets for 19 receptions. Really good efficiency.
That's
there.
Very efficient.
213 yards, 11 yards per catch, which jumped up obviously this week thanks to that 33-yarder.
So
that
how many did you say? 213, 211, 213?
213.
So he's averaging 53 yards a game, which, you ready for this? If you multiply that over 17 games, that means that he is currently on pace for 901 yards. 901 yards.
Did you do that math in your head real quick?
I did, yes.
Quick That's update out right? of management. We will talk to Marcus Jones at 3:30, as previously scheduled, and Drake May will be after that. So we're not going to talk to Drake May right now.
I thought you were going to say Lucas Giolito would be taking his spot.
No. Connolly Early will be taking his spot. But the efficiency of that relationship, and this has been something we've talked a lot about for 4 weeks, because the catches and the targets had been dipping, and Drake had been telling us when he does show up and talk to us that he wants to throw to Stephon Diggs more, wants to get him the ball more. I thought it just came sort of organically this week.
Long pass. Nice. I like the long passes, too. I think fans really want to see. I had been asking.
Chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah. Remember?
And do, too.
I asked, yeah, dudes do as well. Dudes like long balls. I remember passes. Okay. I remember last week asking how they could possibly get the offense activated, how they could get down the field a little bit more. People, I think, naturally think it's going to have to be a Kayshon Boutte thing, or it's going to have to be Kyle Williams. In fact, Steph Diggs could still get down the field, even against the vaunted Panthers defense. I wonder if this is the first time in a couple years now, maybe opposing defensive coordinators are going to lose a little sleep, like, oh man, now they got Diggs activated. Hunter Henry's pretty consistent. They got a bunch of running backs. I guess I will game plan for the Patriots.
Well, and it's a little bit like the Bills. They were talking about this last week with
the Bills. Oh, they're super similar. Good
comp. The Bills have a bunch of good options that obviously a much more advanced quarterback takes advantage of, finds his matchups, and wins that way. And I believe it was actually Richard Sherman, maybe, who said it's harder to deal. One of the analysts said it's harder to deal with a team like that. Like, it's one thing to know Ja'Marr Chase is going to get his 8 targets, so I need to worry about a defense that stops Ja'Marr Chase, even though that's hard to do. Whereas when you have no idea who you have to deal with, I feel like the Patriots have dealt with this over the years with Bill Belichick. He mastered the art of, we'll take away your top option, beat us with your second option. When teams didn't have an obvious top option, sometimes the Patriots would struggle. And that's what Drake May is throwing at other teams right now. As I said, week 1, Kayshon Boutte's my guy. Week 2, Ramondre Stevenson's my guy. Week three, Hunter Henry's my guy. Week four, Stephon Diggs is my guy. Now, two of those guys had 100-yard games. The other two were at like 90. Like, that's an interesting development week by week for teams to look at and say, who is his favorite wide receiver?
It's the one who was open, Tom Brady said.
617-779-7937.
Did he say it like that?
He did. So Drake in North Carolina did not call us at his previously scheduled time, but Jay in North Carolina did call us. So we'll go to the phone lines, talk to Jay. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was trying to control the friend there in Carolina down here. But I told him, I said, hey, listen, if the Patriots had racked up that score against the Detroit Lions, I'd be impressed. Well, but with Bill Belichick, he endeared himself to the Patriot fans when he told his team, do your job. And I think the guys finally played the position they're supposed to play. Now, I don't know. I want to ask you guys, do you think they should have played zone or man-to-man?
Thanks for the call, Jay. I really wish Drake in North Carolina had called. That would have gone better. Yeah, if the Patriots had beaten the Lions 42-13,
yeah, I think we should. We'd
I think
all
it'd be a little bit more than overreaction Monday here.
Yeah,
we'd
Lions,
be booking hotel yeah. rooms in San Francisco yeah. and getting our budget set for WEEI afternoons on Media Row out there. That's what we'd be doing. But guess what? You're not allowed to schedule your own. This isn't like boxing where you're I want to face the number one contender. Like, set up that fight.
I thought you could do that in college football. You can't do that in the pros,
You have a flipping schedule. And everybody was so excited that the schedule was bad in the offseason, right? That was your opportunity. It's a bad schedule. A lot of weak opponents on there. And now we're going to bitch that they don't play good teams? Is that what we're doing here? We're going to bitch that they don't play good teams.
I'm not. However, I'm going to pay off this tee. It's just a break late. This is what you're getting now on social media today from the most ardent of Pats fans. Patriots have played the single easiest schedule in the entire NFL so far at .365 winning percentage. I know people want to anoint Drake as their god after beating teams with a combined 1-6 record, but let's beat even an average NFL team before crowning him the GOAT. Big test next Sunday night.
First of all, who crowned him the GOAT? Just because I crowned him a Patriots Hall of Famer doesn't make him the GOAT. He's nowhere near the GOAT. Don't shake your head at me, Stiz. Don't shake your bleeping head at me. The reality is he's playing really good football. What's an average NFL team? Right now, what's an average NFL team? What would you consider the league average?
An average NFL, the Jaguars.
Okay, so you're kind of in that range, no?
Yeah.
You have a crazy
is an average
coach.
NFL team. We have like,
That's what the best team in the NFL is the Eagles, and all they have is infighting and can't figure out how to get their star receivers and star running back involved, but they're 4-0. Right, like that's supposed.
Are they
the
unhappiest 4-0 team in NFL history?
And then the maybe they're going down
yeah,
that road.
They are.
And then the Ravens are a team that don't look very good, but they might be there in the end. I know they've dug a hole here, and we'll get back to that because we got to get to the phone lines for our guy, Marcus Jones, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Mr. Jones, how we doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Are you, you did a lot of sprinting down the field yesterday. You sore from all that running, embarrassing the Panthers coverage team?
Yeah, I did a lot of running and everything like that yesterday and stuff. No, I'm not going to say I'm crazy sore, but I'm usually sore after every game.
Marcus, did you even expect yourself to return that first punt? I'm not sure if you guys practice. Returning a punt in such close proximity, but I'll say from the Fox broadcast, they were all expecting you to signal a fair catch or not be able to go anywhere with that. Then all of a sudden, in a sea of would-be tacklers, you just took off, and I think you caught everyone off guard with that play.
Yeah, man, in all honesty, usually what I always try to do is just take advantage of the opportunities that I get back there. You know, returning, there's players that are really smart when it comes down to the hang time and different things like that. But at practice, you know, our coach always talks about the situations of, hey, watch out for, you know, the way that we come and basically, like, go about returning the ball. That's the main thing because sometimes in plus 50s, usually teams, you know, they think that people aren't going to return the ball and, you know, I get an opening. We always talk about it, that advantage of opportunity that we get. So that's kind of how we go about it.
On the second one, it was a great return. You made some, like, tiptoe moves down the sideline. And then what happened? Did you run out of gas? Did the punter really get you? What happened there at the end to prevent what would have been a crazy day with a second touchdown?
Yeah, the best question. The best question. Yeah, man, he got me. It was enough to where – It made me get a little bit unbalanced and everything like that. And then I fell, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I had to get around to the blocking, man. First off, man, I commend my teammates and everything. They set up the wall on that return and stuff and try to get outside and stuff. But next time, I definitely can't let the punter make the tackle away from me up and stuff like that. So that's on me for sure.
Marcus, what happened early in the game on that play with, I think it was actually the first play from scrimmage for the Panthers, wide receiver David Moore on an end around, and you guys kind of got tangled up there. What happened on that play?
Yeah, he was trying to stiff arm me and everything. I was trying to knock the stiff arm down and stuff, man. I hate the situation of just injuries in general. You know, playing this sport, man, it's already hard enough and stuff like that, so I definitely hate that. You know, that happened to him and stuff, and definitely selling my prayers and stuff like that his way for sure.
Marcus, getting back to the punt returns a little bit, I understand there's a called return, there's blocking schemes, things of that nature, but how much are you thinking when you get into return, or how much is it just instincts, break tackles, make people miss? Do you even kind of think while you're in, or you just lose yourself in the moment?
It's a reactional thing. There may be times, you know, you do get to your blocking area. It might be times that you don't. And all I try to do is just make the right cut. First thing is I'm always trying to get a first down, get at least 10 yards so that we can set up the offense in great field position. But anytime I'm back there, man, we already know as a punt return unit, we're always trying to score. That's the main thing. And then kind of go from there. But yeah.
Marcus, so Carolina has their way offensively on the first possession, or rather it seems kind of easy as they drive their way down the field and get the early touchdown. Fans seemed a little antsy, three and out for the offense. And then some guy named Marcus Jones returns a punt back, and all of a sudden that's the catalyst to a defensive turnaround, it seems, for the Patriots yesterday. What did Carolina do early against you guys versus what sort of adjustment you made to stymie them defensively the rest of the way?
Yeah. First things first, I mean, whenever we ended up getting into the game and stuff, we just have to play our football. That's the main thing. We was getting settled and everything early in the game, but no one panicked on the offensive side or the defensive side during the game. And first off, Carolina is a great team. You know, they have players that make plays, things like that too. But all we did was get back to the sideline, make the adjustments and stuff. And then after that, man, Braves talks about one play. All it takes is one play every single time. When I came to the sideline, he was talking about one play and stuff. And then after that, the momentum in the stadium just changed from the sense of, you know, us scoring and then defense getting out there and the fans making it hard for the Panthers on third down and things like that. And then we just had momentum from there. So, you know, Braves always talk about one play, and no matter if it's offense or defense or special teams, man, whenever you can get that one play, you know, jump start is very important.
Patriots punt returner Marcus Jones here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Marcus, we're going to talk to Drake May in just a few minutes here on the show. And I'm wondering, as a fellow captain, as a guy who goes against him in practice sometimes, a guy that's been around him a couple years now, we can see what's going on the outside. We can see the impressive performances like he puts on the field yesterday. But how have you seen him develop and evolve, even within just the last 4 weeks of this season?
Yeah, man, Drake, he's a competitor, man, and he's a student of the game as well. Like, whenever we'll be in training camp and stuff, whenever we run a certain coverage or anything like that, you know, he'll ask us, what are we running after practice? Like, what did we see? You know, we look at the receiver for too long, and, you know, he's always asking questions, and that's great to end up having a young player have that veteran mindset of, like, constructive criticism and everything like that as well. So that's the main thing, and he takes it day by day, and you know, each week, you know, anything that he has that, you know, that was bad or something like that, and he's always had a great response to the situation of mental responses and everything. So it's great to, you know, have a guy like that, you know, leading our team as well.
Marcus, would you say you could feel the impact of a healthier defense, Gonzalez coming back? Like, did it feel like when you guys took the field and as the game progressed, you guys felt more like a whole, like the defense felt like the way you guys thought it should feel when the season began?
I feel as though, like, any time that we're you know, on the field as a defense. You know, and we have guys that we, you know, we trust, and, you know, we've put a lot of work in since training camp and OTAs and things like that. Whenever we're able to play our football and communicate and make plays, I feel like that we can be a very good defense in the National Football League. And as long as we do what we need to do and stay fundamentally sound, we could be one of the top defenses in the league.
Marcus, I thought one of the fun aspects of your punt return, other than, you know, the fact that it was a touchdown and it ignited the whole place and the game and everything, was Kyrese Tonga, your defensive line teammate, was out there. He was ahead of you. I don't know if you saw this on film or even saw it live, but when he saw you beat the punter on the first one, he threw his fist up in celebration about the 40-yard line. He knew it was a touchdown. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, Tonga, that's my guy. Yeah, most of the time, you know, I always tell those guys, man, what I'm going to try to do is, you know, meet you guys at the end zone and everything like that, and then go from there. So it was funny, and we were talking about it and stuff, man. I believe in those guys blocking for me, and I'm thankful, you know, really thankful for the sense of having those guys out there, you know, wanting to block for me and stuff like that too. So, you know, I'm happy to have guys like that by our team.
All right, Marcus, so big win for you guys to finish up the month 2-2. You get your first home win at Gillette after two previous efforts. Now you go on the road with some momentum to the national showcase that is Sunday Night Football against your division leaders, winners of the AFC East the last 5 years. Some would say the best team in football right now, the Buffalo Bills. How fired up do you get for hostile environments like what you'll probably receive Sunday in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's always different whenever, you know, it's a divisional opponent. Their atmosphere is different for sure. You know, they make it difficult for the opposing team to play there and everything. And it should be a great matchup from the sense of, you know, two big-time quarterbacks, you know, in the National Football League right now, and two divisional opponents.
Marcus, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if I were you, I would take those punt return highlights, the broken tackles, the making guys missed, and I might send that over to Josh McDaniels and just say, hey, just a thought, you might want to give me a shot on your offense, maybe in the slot. So I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I would send those clips.
I hear you.
All right, thanks, Marcus. Marcus Jones, Patriots defensive back. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.
For sure, thank you.
Thanks, Marcus.
Marcus Jones on WEEI Afternoons. And up next, Drake May, the quarterback, will be giving us a call here on WEEI Afternoons, so stick around.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Okay. WEEI Afternoons. Just spoke with our buddy Marcus Jones. Quick side note, quick left-hand turn. You guys been following Puka Nacua? He's got 500 yards receiving in four games.
He's pretty good.
500. You can add together Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, and let's throw a dose of Travion Henderson in, and I think those three would just about get to Puka Nacua's yards.
Just about get to Puka.
Good Lord. has been on fire.
Yeah, it looks like the decision to move on from Cooper Kupp is not biting them in the old ramajama.
He misses them. Clearly, he was riding Cooper Kupp's coattails out there. Or you could just say Sean McVay when he has a receiver who knows what the hell he's doing. Because remember how much he loved him pre-draft? And he was like, if he's going to do this, he's going to do this. I'll tell you exactly what he's going to do. He's going to be great for us. How come he can see a guy and make it work exactly how he plans? The Patriots get a guy, and he has to go to Kansas City before he starts catching touchdowns.
Why do I have a feeling that if Javon Baker was drafted by the Rams, he'd be like a second-year sensation?
Oh, potentially. Potentially.
Yeah, 100%.
And we had one shrapnel-tossing texter earlier today. When's Josh going to do his job and develop a receiver? Josh just got back here. Josh hasn't been here.
Give him time.
Now, he was part of some of the regimes that didn't draft receivers.
No, for sure.
But I'm just saying, like, right now, and the best he has to work with right now is a third-round pick in Kyle Williams, and the jury's out. We'll see where that goes.
I think he's going to be okay in time. Josh isn't rushing him to the floor. He's working with a lot of the vets right now, getting Diggs going, Mac Hollins. By the way, what would we name the memorial wall where we put up all the numbers and the jerseys of the receivers, the second and third-round picks that flamed out? Is it the Chad Jackson Memorial? Is it the Aaron Dobson? Taylor Price.
Taylor Price was a big one.
He stunk.
I always kind of use the example when I thought a guy was going down the road of a career crossroads at wide receiver, I'd say he was taking a right on Taylor Price way.
Yeah.
And he was about to just kind of exit the organization. I don't know that we're there on Kyle Williams. Yes, Dan Ball.
Who was the wide receiver you saw the first day at camp, Andy, that you knew was going to be?
Oh, that
a
was
bust?
N'Keal Harry.
That's okay. So that's who who I was going to nominate.
N'Keal jogging weights on his ankles. Harry
couldn't
Memorial
have been slower.
Square drill. Yeah. All I had to see was the square drill. Stupid. I admit it's stupid, but it was right.
What's the square drill?
It's just four cones with pitter patter. You're supposed to look quick, sharp cuts to the left. You catch a ball maybe twice. He looked as it looked like you doing it. It's like
who's he looked like a producer lineman on WEEI Afternoons.
He kind of did. I mean, that's a little overdramatic, but he kind of did. Especially, and the thing that always gets you in that drill is it's rapid fire, and there's like whatever. It's camp, so there's say 12 receivers. So there's a guy going right before you and a guy going right after you. So there's like immediate comparison, and you're like, how come that guy looked quick, and that guy looked quick, and the first round pick in the middle didn't look like he had good footwork, didn't look quick. It was eye-openingly bad, and it obviously sort of played out years later that he was just shouldn't have been a first-round pick. Should have taken any of the other options. Maybe A.J. Brown, you can revisit that. I know Wiggy is advocating.
Let's legislate that all over again. Can't wait.
Wiggy's advocating for a trade. Go all in on A.J. Brown, who's posting not-so-subtle, not-so-cryptic things on social media because he's a non-factor in a 4-0 football team. Going to be hard for him to come out and say, I don't care about my role. I just want to win games when he's clearly not happy and they're winning games.
Winning games.
Yeah. But I would take him. I would absolutely take him to upgrade the receiving core. Yes, Dan Ball again.
I'm not sure if you guys hit on this overly deeply in the 2 p.m. hour, but while we have a moment, what'd you think of the way the run game was operated by McDaniels and company?
Loved it. Loved the committee. I don't know if I've come to grips with the fact that Ramondre Stevenson started and it's like, we're going to build him back up kind of mentality. The thing we talked about earlier.
You can make any mistake you want.
Yeah, I don't know about any mistake, but a football physical mistake he made and he started and he was out there and then they just split the carries and the role and the whole thing. I thought a lot of it was schemed up. I talked about it earlier with sort of the end arounds and then the end around offshoot backside play and those types of things. I don't think it was quite as productive as I was hoping it was going to be based on the team they were going against had a bad run defense. But who's going to complain at 42-13? The passing game was working. Everything was pretty efficient. You found ways, the screen game, the short passing game, the long passing game.
Drake only threw it 17 times. What the hell, man?
Yeah. Maybe he's tired.
It's all he needs to do.
Dial the digits to call us. As he's so tired from throwing it
his right
17
arm,
times.
Slinging it so much.
Or maybe he's dialing up what he's going to do to Josh Allen and the Bills Sunday night in Buffalo. Talk about a Hall of Fame performance.
You're already there.
Should I ask him?
Yeah.
Do you think you've earned a red jacket just yet?
No, I would say I'd open with that.
Nope, not going to. Nope. I'll wait for maybe a texter will ask that in the coming weeks. It's going to be the quarterback question of the week.
It's going to be confusing when he goes, at the beginning of his answer on that question.
You know, I don't mind the running back by committee approach, but I wouldn't mind if there was like a guy you thought you could definitely depend on. Like,
but does anybody have that? Because you know what I watched last night that annoyed the hell out of me as a non-Ravens fan? There was a 3rd-and-1 play. Mm-hmm. So you'd assume. What's your assumption?
Josh Jacobs is kind of a lead back. He plays for Green Bay.
The Ravens, I said.
I know.
Going to need you to listen.
That's why I qualified and said Green Bay.
Derrick Henry wasn't on the field on 3rd-and-1.
Wow.
Derrick Henry wasn't on the field on third and one.
That's a bad decision.
Like, what are you? So you dream of having that guy? Mm-hmm. Well, that guy doesn't do you any good if he's on the sideline. It was a strange play. They kicked a field goal. They weren't going to win. They lost.
Doesn't do you any good also when your defense just flat out decides not to show up for the game that is supposed to be your defensive flag posting.
Their
in the
defense
middle of
stinks.
Dallas. Green Bay's?
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
Oh, the Ravens defense is picnic trash.
We're not on the same page here.
That's fine. It's fine. There are literally seagulls picking at the Ravens defense in a BFI dumpster outside of M&T Bank Stadium.
Yeah,
right
the old 40-40 tie.
Terrible.
I don't believe it. First of all, I saw 13-2. And I'm like, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. 13-2.
This is an unusual score.
And then it ends in a 40-40 tie.
It was a scoreigami. Did you know that?
Was it the first ever 40-40?
It was. I love a scoreigami.
It was the 1,093rd unique score in NFL history.
Yeah, I don't love ties. And I get it. Mm. And I get the shortened overtime. And I get the whole argument, player safety. And you can't just let them play forever and all that. But it's just so weird to look at it and say 40-40. Oh, so what are they in a break right now and they'll come back? Is that how this works? A shootout? I mean, even if you want to gimmick it up, should they gimmick it up?
Like have a field goal kicking contest.
Have a field goal kicking
Brandon
contest.
Aubrey, tell
like
you
a
what,
shootout.
Here, if Brandon Aubrey can hit this 70-yarder, you guys win.
Right.
He probably would.
Dan Ball, you're a hockey guy. Would you advocate for football having some sort of a shootout at the end of overtime?
I wouldn't mind it. I also wouldn't mind them adopting the college football two-point conversion off. I think that's actually been pretty successful.
Just about to say, did you catch the end of that Oregon-Penn State game Saturday night? Excellent.
I get that, but you are, in that case, there's a chance you're extending the game for a little while with pro teams. And I think two-point conversions are like 50-50 in the NFL. So if you string a couple together, you know, player safety, how many extra plays
you're
going
to run. More bang for the crowd's buck.
Whereas if you just kick field goals, especially if you don't, if you wanted to, you could do field goals with no rush, no line. Just let them line up with their little triangle thing that they use after halftime to warm up with.
Or blindfold them.
And that way they could definitely hit 70-yard field goals.
How about you back them up after every successful two-point conversion? You go, you know, yard line by yard line on your way back.
Yeah, right up until T.J. Watt blows out his ACL in one of those meaningless
plays. Well, all of a sudden,
plays.
This just got, like, extreme.
But, I mean, that's the argument for ending it, is player safety, like, especially fatigue. So they've played 60 minutes, they've played 70 minutes, and now you're going to continue to run them out there with the potential for injury to a major player.
Or maybe if Micah Parsons did his damn job in regulation and didn't let Dallas score 40 points, then maybe we don't need to be out there.
Just Micah Parsons, one man,
and the other 10 guys.
Is that how that works? But yeah, that was an interesting game last night. Drake May is going to be joining us shortly, we hope, here on WEEI Afternoons. But as we wait, we might as well go to the phone lines, clean up some of these calls. Let's go to our buddy Matt in Rhode Island, reacting to the Lucas Giolito news. What's up, Matt?
Yeah. What's up, guys? Hey. That Scherzer poll was spot on, 50. You're 101. That made me laugh. Anyway, yeah, the Giolito, so they signed him, obviously, out for the whole year last year. I'm like, you know, what is it with this guy? He worked hard. He came back. He had a lot of good starts. Hard, you said, like, the last couple, I'm sure the elbow is barking. It's just, it sucks for him not to be able to, you know, pitch in the series. Because, you know, even though Bale has had good history with the, you know, at Yankee Stadium against his team, I kind of rather would have a healthy Giolito. I think you're going to see a lot more hitting in the series. Hopefully they can dial in that series where they swept them. I don't expect the Yankees to be that bad, obviously, but you know I also think it actually sucks that all three of these games are in Yankee Stadium. I get it if logistically you're talking about Red Sox Mariners, but you know it should be 1-1-1.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, it just is what it is. And yes, logistically, if you were talking about potentially cross country rivals like the Mariners and the mm-hmm. Red Sox. You know, they're going to play in one place and get this over with quickly and move on to the next series.
3,000, just because it's an Excella versus like a cross-country flight.
Dan Ball, did this work? Do you think this expanded postseason works? Is this good for baseball, having all these teams in the chaos? Because obviously the purists are like, in my day, you won the pennant and went to the World Series. Like, does this new age system work?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah. I think you got teams that are all worthy of playoff consideration. I mean, maybe you could argue the one hanger on at the end. Like, were the Reds really a team that's going to compete for a World Series? I don't know. At the end, do you think like Detroit or Cleveland is going to be a team that I'm not quite sure about that, but I have no real qualms with it. I wouldn't go any bigger than where we are right now, but I think it sets up some very intriguing wild card series.
So the Red Sox were the fifth seed overall. So if we were back in the traditional days of division winner, division winner, division winner, one wild card, there'd be no Red Sox. So I kind of don't mind it.
Well, obviously, from a greedy perspective, sure. As a Boston sports fan.
A hometown loyalist perspective.
And I just think having all those teams in it was not a terrible thing. And to have more teams in it and to have more fan bases in it, especially in a money sport. Baseball. And a money sport where you can also see a team like the Mets just absolutely peter
gag.
Out. Absolutely. Which apparently my local newspaper didn't get because they had some random story filler. Some USA Today Wire story about like some Mets starting pitcher who looked like he was positioning himself for a spot in the rotation in the postseason. And I'm like, when did this story get put in? And do you guys realize that this makes no sense? And this paper is on my doorstep when the Mets are not in the playoffs. Also, after signing Juan Soto and missing the playoffs.
All-time choke job.
Oh,
all-time.
That is, and they were, Mets they were fans are pretty.
They had a huge lead. They should have won the division. Then they lose hold of the division. Then they slowly just like all the paneling came off on reentry burn back to earth. If I went to you.
And that's why this worked, just real quick, by the way, is because of all these gag jobs.
Sure.
It made it interesting. If you were playing.
The Astros gagged too.
But if you were playing just for wild cards that were so far behind everybody else, I don't think it would have felt as pure or as entertaining or
the satisfaction
worthwhile.
Factor probably.
But this was, I mean, look, you had Yankees, Blue Jays trying to flip-flop. You had Tigers, Guardians trying to flip-flop. You had these teams that are like battling for the division, battling for the wild card. I actually think the teams falling apart and falling on their faces down the stretch made for a more interesting offseason.
And in that vein, that gives you a chance to see teams like the Guardians, who literally made trades that would have told you, oh, we're punting until 2026. And the Reds, if I came to you in the middle of July and said, both Ohio baseball teams will be in the playoffs, would you have said, no drinking before work, or you're crack, you're high? Like, nobody would have bought that.
It's baseball, Ray. It's baseball. Anything can happen. Now, I will say, if you look at the list, the payroll tax, payroll dollars, if you spend $200 million, you get a good chance to go to the postseason other than the Mets. But everybody else, I think, or a lot of those teams up there in that top eight, top 10 are in the postseason. We're going to talk to Drake May in a bit. Are we breaking, guys? All right. So we're going to take a quick break. The red light came on after I asked for it. But we're going to talk to Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.